I want you to go over to John chapter 4, and I will read while you're turning there. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20, this is our main text of the series that we're in. It says, I, wisdom, walk in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit true riches and that I may fill their treasuries. This is part 9 of our series called The Ships of God's Armada. And you guys know by now what the ships are. It's relationship and sonship and on, friendship, those things. The first week we talked about relationship to God, and I would submit to you that's the main ship. That's the one that needs the attention. If you make sure that one is fully furnished, then all the other ones will sort of take care of themselves. If that first one is anemic in some way, if there's some shortcomings there, all the rest of them will suffer. It is the supply ship to all the other ships. I can't be a good steward if I don't have the relationship with the Father. I'm not going to worship correctly if I don't have a solid relationship with the Father. I can't have good relationship with people if I'm not walking in love, which I get from my relationship with the Father. Are you seeing that? So it's the supply ship. So we talked about relationship, we talked about stewardship for a couple of weeks, and then 2 weeks ago, my wife started talking about worship. And wasn't that awesome? I mean, it was simple. I think it's the best thing I've ever heard her share. It was awesome. I mean, it was spot on. Now, she's a great teacher. She is a great teacher. But man, when she teaches on worship, you get a double whammy. I mean, she's a great teacher, plus that's her passion. Same with Rob. Rob taught last week, and it was the same thing. It was excellent. And Rob just teed it up just so beautifully for me, for this week. He has no idea. We didn't sit down and say, okay, you take this part, and I'll take this part. We didn't do that. We just trusted the Holy Spirit. And so today, we're going to talk about worship again. We'll kind of conclude that portion of the ships. But in John chapter 4, look at verse 23. Jesus is speaking, and he says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. This is something that God himself is on the lookout for. You want God's attention? Worship him in spirit and in truth. And we'll break that down for you, what that actually means. Do you want to get his attention? I want you to know, you always have his attention. It's not like sometimes I'm playing guitar and my kids are trying to talk to me. That's the wrong time to try to talk to me, because I'm thinking about what I'm doing. Remember, my granddad used to do the same thing. Poppy, Poppy, over here. And it's like he's in his zone. And I do the same thing. But it's not that way with God. You always have his attention. Then he goes on to say, God is spirit, and those who worship him must, say must, worship him in spirit and truth. The Amplified puts it this way, it expounds a little bit. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, which is defined as reality. Reality. The word worship there means to prostrate oneself in homage, to reverence, to adore. To adore. This will bless you. One of the words that we translate praise is the word barak. And barak means to kneel and to adore. And we find it's the first thing that God does for mankind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God blessed them. It's the same word, barak. Think about it. He creates us. All the creation, everything that he creates in Genesis chapter 1, and the Lord saw that it was very good. Saw that it was good. Everything he created was good, but mankind, we are a creation made in his likeness and his image. We're actually handmade, and he kneels down and adores us as his creation. Not only was it so good, he took the time to behold and adore his creation. That's powerful. I mean, we don't think of God kneeling to us. We think of us kneeling to God, right? Thank you, Jesus. The word, this is from the Nelson's Bible Dictionary, it's reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. The English word worship comes from the Old English word worth-ship, a word which denotes the worthiness of the one receiving the special honor and devotion. So think about it. When we say let's worship together, what we're saying is let's worth-ship him. We're thinking about his worth. It's about honor. How valuable is he to you? Let me ask you this question. What or who would be more valuable? That's a great question. The word truth denotes true in the sense of real, ideal, and genuine. How many of you know that you can worship and it not be genuine? In that case, I guess it really wouldn't be worship. It would be the acts. Yeah, singing. Anybody? Well, don't raise your hand. I'm sure we've all done that at some point in time. We've got our hands in the sanctuary and we're singing the song and we're thinking about, okay, now I got to get to Walmart. I hope I get a spot, you know, so I'll park over by the tire and lube because it's a little easier to get in. And your mind can do those sort of things and your heart not be in it. So worship has to have your heart and mind. Your heart is not in what your mind is not on. That's worth writing down. The word spirit is the word pneuma, and it means breath. Breath. So we're worshiping God from the core essence of who we are, the real part of who we are. We are spirit, soul, and body. And it's the spirit part of us that was perfected in Christ when you got born again. The soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions is in a process of being renewed to what happened in our spirit. Our flesh, we get a new one, praise God. That's good news for a lot of people. But it's a blessing now because we get a body, we get to stay on earth. People sometimes curse their body. That's not smart. Just take care of it. Try to get some longevity out of it. You want to live till you're satisfied? Do like Rob, lose 35 pounds, right? Are you with me? Because he's not satisfied either, are you, brother? No, sir, got a lot to do. Now, I want you to go over to Matthew 15. Oh, we're going to get to something so good. You're going to really be blessed. So New Testament worship must be in spirit and in truth, genuine and from the heart. Genuine and from the heart. Now, that's going to be hard to do if you don't have a real relationship with him. If you don't really know him, then you're just kind of going through some motions. You got to know who it is you're addressing. Matthew 15, look at verse 7. Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees and says, hypocrites, exclamation point. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The commandments of men. That becomes the doctrine. I wonder how many man-made doctrines there are. That's a bunch, I'm sure. And some people make it their ministry to learn all of those so they can expose all of those. I just say you stick to the real. That's what the banking industry does. They don't teach you about all the counterfeits. They teach you how to recognize the real. So that when something that isn't the real comes across your fingers, you know it immediately. You may not be able to know why. You just know that's not the real. That's how God wants us to do it. True worship. Real, genuine worship. And notice he said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me. So worship is a posture of honor or value. Again, worth-ship. What are we doing? We're thinking about how valuable he is. I am nothing without him. I can do nothing without him. So he's everything. Now go over to Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40. Here we go. Look at verse 3. And it says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Who did it? He did it. God did it. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Man. This is huge. He has put a new song in my mouth. I said this before. Everything that God requires of us, He gives us. Even praise to Him, He gives it to us. Everything that God requires from us, He supplies us. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it. Notice the "it" there is italicized. If you have a King James or a New King James, you'll see that that two-letter word is italicized. What that means is it is inserted by the translator to try to help the meaning. It's not in the original transcripts. So what is this saying? What is the "it"? What's the understood subject? Well, that would be the new song. How can you see a song? You can't. You can't see a song. What is this saying? Praise to our God. Many will see and fear or reverence and will trust in the Lord. Who are you going to see? You're going to see the Lord. There's a reverence and an honor that will come because of the praise that He put in your mouth. Now, that word praise is the word tehillah. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. I did want to redeem that song. Tehillah. I wanted to say tehillah at the end of it. I thought that'd be funny. I guarantee you I'd manifest some religious devils if I did that. So you got to stay away from that kind of stuff. But the word tehillah here in Psalm 40 verse 3 is described as a new song. Does that mean, oh, praise God, Pastor Julie's got a new song for us to learn today? No, that's not what it is. It's a laudation, a song of celebration. New song, by definition, is any song of an unrehearsed nature. You didn't practice this on the way to church, and now I'm in church, and here you go, God, I got your song for you. It's unrehearsed. Go over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, look at verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, we are Israel by covenant. We're grafted in, right? Read Romans 11. We're grafted in by faith in Christ, right? And this says you are holy who are enthroned. Enthroned. Think about it. What is a throne? It's a chair for a king. Some translations say who inhabit the praises. I like that too. But our new song praise, that's the word tehillah, again, this is showing you how this word is used, causes God to manifest. That is good news. Glory to God. There's a difference between God's omnipresence and His manifest presence. This, what I'm showing you today, is one of the most powerful things I've ever discovered in the Word of God. You can manifest the Creator. You have Him. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. But you can cause Him to be in manifestation. How do you do that? The new song. The new song. I believe, personally believe, this is God's favorite praise. Why do I say that? Because He didn't say He would inhabit your sermon. He didn't say He would inhabit your prayer, did He? He said He would inhabit or be enthroned, literally sit. If you'll do the new song long enough, you don't need a band. You don't need to play those cool major seventh chords. You don't have to have all those things. We set it up nice for you. And actually, I'm telling you, we do. It is a major part of what Brookside Church is about. We purposely do not write a conclusion to praise and worship ever. We never do it. We know how we're going to start. We transition. We got this song. But where it goes from there, we're just going to find the Holy Ghost wave and get the boogie in. I mean, that's what we're going to do. Sorry, I don't mean to get all technical. That's what we're going to do. Are you with me? We're going to flow with Him. We're going to ride that wave. Sometimes it's a healing service. Sometimes it's an anointing service. Sometimes it's all the time we get a prophetic word. He speaks to the moment, right? And that's different than the teaching that's been laid up for us that day, but it's powerful. So we purpose, we've designed it that way. Why? That's God's favorite praise. We want him in manifestation. And when God manifests, nobody's got to call out anything. You get what you need because it's in the atmosphere. You need peace. His presence has got the peace. You need fullness of joy. It's in his presence. Now, there are several words, especially in the Hebrew. I don't know. It's probably a dozen words. Rob mentioned them last week. Words like todah and yada, and that's how you hold your hands. And hallelujah or halal is the actual word. That means praise God. Shabak, you mentioned, means to shout. I always think of R.W. Shambach, and that helps me remember that because he knew how to shout. He's a preacher. So then you have Zamar. Zamar is probably my favorite. That is to praise on a stringed instrument. That's what you find King David, before he was King David, when he was summoned by Saul, King Saul, to get relief from his devils. Why? Because David was such a skilled musician that he could do triplets and all kinds of pentatonics and all. Could he do all that? No, it wasn't that. It's because God manifested. When God manifests, you don't have to worry about darkness. You want to know the answer to darkness? It's called light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, in him is no darkness at all. God is light. In him is no darkness. You dealing with darkness? Turn the light on. Quit yelling at the darkness. Just turn the light on. It's that easy. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. While you're turning there, in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. That's the scriptures that Jesus broke out at the beginning of his ministry, right? He goes on to say in verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of Tahilah for the spirit of heaviness. We talked about today, there's been there was a funk trying to come on us, right? Well, this is how you deal with it. How do you deal with it? You put on the garment of Tahilah. What happens? God manifests. Whatever's trying to mess with you, whatever's trying to whisper to you has to go. Like I said, it's like turning the light on in the kitchen. If there's roaches, they run. They're out of there. That's a great analogy. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with tahilah. Specific. It's specific. See, this is why you want to be a student of the word. You need to know exactly which kind of praise he's talking about. It's new song. And we'll break that down for you as we go, what a new song is. It's that place where we're not on the lyric. We don't have an overhead for it. Are you with me? It's coming out of your heart to him. When we do a worship package, and Pastor Julie is awesome at this. We don't talk about it. So once in a while, she'll go, what are you teaching on? Because, you know, maybe she's trying to go in a direction or whatever. But most of the time, we'll sit there and look at the songs that we're picking. It's like, that was perfect. Because we're following the same Holy Spirit. So we pick out songs, but somebody else wrote those lyrics, right? So it's kind of like you're going to get a birthday card for somebody. I think of my relationship with Karen. When it's her birthday, I'm going to look at the card, you know, and I'm not going to get some Star Wars theme song for her. It's not going to fit, right? So I'm going to try to find something that would represent what I would say to her. And I look, oh, that's perfect. I would love to have written that. And that becomes what I give her. But I didn't write it. The new song is what I write at the bottom of the card with my own hand. And that's what God wants. That's what he sits on. That's what he manifests to. You can manifest the Creator. I don't care what kind of day you're having. Lift up a new song to him. Oh. If you'll do this long enough, God will manifest. It happens. I'm telling you, it happens. And this is how you deal with heaviness. Amen? Now, you're there in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine. See? no tequila, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ah, sí, tequila. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and, look at this, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Who are you singing to? You get filled with the Spirit. And what do? You sing Him a spiritual song. You sing it back to Him. He's given you what you need. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The word in the Greek for spiritual songs is ode pneumaticos. Ode pneumaticos. Ode is song. Pneumaticos, it's like the word pneuma, spirit. We get our word pneumatic. We used to design air brakes for fire trucks, and we had a pneumatic diagram and system, air brakes. So it's the breath of God. So what are these? These are songs of our spirit, songs of the Spirit of God. And it's anything non-carnal, a spiritual or divinely supernatural song, songs of the Spirit. Now go over to 1 Corinthians 14. Isn't that a great illustration, the greeting card? Because that's what we do with church. We don't just buy a card and sign it. We come in and we leave a place to write a novel if you want to. You can express your heart to the Father, and God sits in manifestation in that place. Isn't this powerful? 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 14. And it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Ooh, I'm so glad that scripture's in the Bible. Because this little Baptist kid was having a hard time when people talked to me about tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought, yabba dabba doo, why? You know, why would God do something weird like that? That's just weird. And so by faith, I just thought, well, God, I want everything you have for me. I'm tired of being an addict. I'm tired of being this person. And this was a key, was being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so this set me free right here because my head couldn't understand it. And basically he's telling you, you're not going to know what you're saying. You would need to rely on an interpretation to know what it is you're communicating. That's a whole road we could go down. That's a different teaching. But I wanted you to see something. In verse 15, what is the conclusion then? So Paul's leading up to something. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. So notice, praying in the Spirit is contrasted to praying with the understanding. Kenneth Hagin used to say, I used to think that praying in the Spirit meant you had a little more spizzerinctum. A little more humph in it. That's not what he's saying. It's very specific right here, right? It's praying in other tongues. It's not praying with the understanding. Okay. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Now watch this. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. That's why what we did today, I was very aware, and I didn't do it on purpose. I just felt the unction that we needed to worship in the Spirit. And those of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit went right there with me. And what happens? He's in manifestation. You sense it very quickly. Very quickly he shows up. Now, I want you to go back over to John chapter 4. And I want to say this while you're turning there. The new song is the predominant songs or praise in heaven. I don't think that he has Lin Mink or some famous worship leader up there directing heaven's choir. And I'll show you why I say that. Pull up Revelation 4, verse 6. I believe we have it there. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. This is John writing in the book of Revelation. Now, a key to Bible interpretation is whenever there's a sea that is not named, it's always people. Whenever there's a sea mentioned in the Bible and it's not giving the name of the sea, it's people. So that's what's happening. This is a bunch of people. And it says a sea of glass like crystal. Interesting. Did you know that crystal is one of the only elements that you cannot hide a flaw in? So we're talking flawless people. That's us. Okay? Now, go to Revelations 14. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just read it for you. 14, verse 2. This is John writing, and he says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters." That's that sea. "And like the voice of loud thunder." Before we change slides, have you ever been to Niagara Falls or any fall that's of any volume? It's almost deafening. It is a roar. So that is what this is being compared to. And I'm trying to think, what could John have used as another description? What are the loudest things? Thunder? That'd be about it. He didn't have the advantage of PV amps or the sound of a shuttle taking off. You know, he didn't have those. The loudest things he's using right here. This is loud. Loud. Say loud. Go to the next one. "They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne." New song. What did it sound like? It sounded like Niagara Falls. There's not a certain meter. Okay, guys, we're going to strike up hymn number 100. We're going to sing the first, the second, not the third, and the fourth verse, never the third. It's not like that in heaven. What is it? It's people just standing at the throne of God saying, "I worship you, I love you, Lord." It's coming out of them. And it's the sound of many waters. And it's so loud that it sounds like thunder. So when we do the new song, we join with heaven. Are you getting happy? I can tell there's an appetite for this, isn't there? All right. Well, let me share something with you. Julie and I had gone to a conference, might have been early 90s. Who's ever heard of Lamar Boschman? Lamar Boschman, he is one of the pioneers of what we would say is contemporary worship. People like him and Don Moen and some different guys, he worked with Integrity and different things. So we had been to a couple of Lamar Boschman conferences before. And Lamar shared this. He found something that Polycarp, who's ever heard of Polycarp? He's one of the first century saints. Couple of hands, praise God. And this is what Polycarp wrote. It says, "In Rome, we have lost some of the best. They, the Christians, being daily led into the arenas and being fed to the dogs and lions. Our hearts break for loss of our brothers and sisters in the kingdom. But in this we rejoice, that when the bars in the arena come up and the church comes forward to meet the lions, they are endlessly singing, O Dei Pneumaticos. Songs of the Spirit of God. They're endlessly singing this. They lift their hearts with residual song and begin to glorify God as they march to their death. But in this we rejoice, that the church grows mightily by the hundreds who are repenting in the arenas in Rome." An attempt by Nero to exterminate Christians. And so they would be locked up in the Roman Colosseum. You all have seen it, right? They had these dungeons underneath. They'd lock up the Christians. And so the stands are filled with people just watching them being mangled and eaten. And what happens when things like that happen? It happened in Nazi Germany as well. There's a thing called bloodlust. A bloodlust. There's a darkness that comes over somebody and they can't be gratified. We had a class in the Bible college, and this guy Delron Shirley was teaching on that stuff, and he would read some of the acts. I don't do well with that stuff. Julie and I watched Schindler's List. It was back on VHS. We had watched a funny movie first, and then I thought, you know what, we'll put it on. If we get tired, we'll go to bed. It's no big deal. We sat there 4 hours later. You know, it was like 3 a.m. It's a long movie, too. But it's very accurate. And so the reason I'm saying this is what was happening? There's this bloodlust. These people are in the stands and they're cheering. They're working themselves up like they're at a Tampa Bay Bucks game or something. They have a unified purpose and they're like, die, Christian, die. They're there for the same thing. And then these people come out and they're singing to God a new song, O De Numericos. And what happens? God shows up and breaks the hold of the spirit of murder over that place. The people fall on the ground and repent and got born again right there because somebody knows how to manifest the presence of God. You can carry His manifest presence with you. You going from job to job, just spend a little time doing that. Even if you need to park for just a couple minutes and just worship in the Spirit. I used to do it at E1. And with all the sounds of compressors and shop tools and all that stuff, walking through there, I act like I'm chewing gum, but I'm actually praying in the Spirit. Not just praying, I'm singing. And I mean, there would be times that it was the day from hell. There was all kind of pressures coming on you, and you just start worshiping. You can feel peace come. You can feel His presence come. We talked about feeling unprotected. We are protected, but we don't feel it necessarily. You learn this. Do this. Practice this. You will feel protected. You will feel the presence of God. This is so powerful. What I'm telling you is one of the most powerful things that you can get as far as worship is concerned. So it's a major part of what we do as a church. Like I said before, the two main things that you're going to get here is the Word of God. You're going to get the Word of God taught, and I'm going to share what God says. People come to me and say, why don't you teach more on hell? I got news for you. I'm not scratching your ear, you know. I'm going to teach what He says to teach. Are you with me? Or why don't you teach on this more? I'm listening for whatever God says. We all have our favorites, but before we get to the Word, most of the time, there is the opportunity for you to manifest the presence of God in this place. And I get excited when I think about people that learn how to do this individually. Have an altar in your home where you meet with God and you get into His manifest presence. Then we get a church filled with people that know how to do this. It won't take us 15 minutes to crank you up. I mean, we'll be there. And if I had my way, if it were up to me, we'd start with that. We'd start with the new song. We'd throw them papers out, forget about the overheads, turn the lights off, let's go. We would just worship Him. Some call it prophetic worship or whatever. We're just offering Him a new song. We didn't write this. We didn't script this. We didn't say, hey, let's do this, and then we'll do a little chord change, and we'll pivot on this. And we don't do any of that. And see, we're blessed. We have musicians that know how to couple that with the Zamar to praise on an instrument and flow with the Holy Spirit. And He takes us places. Would you agree? I look for it to be so strong and so prevalent that people that maybe are first-time guests, they've never been here before, and they're just thinking about maybe seeing if God's real, God gets their attention. I mean, they can't deny it. Have you got an appetite for this? Can we do that for a few minutes? I want to worship. Can we do that? Can we worship in a new song? Can you not worry about what's on the overhead? What you're going to do, you can close your eyes if you want to. You can keep them open. It doesn't matter. There's nothing Bible about closing your eyes. Jesus didn't close His eyes when He prayed. He lifted His eyes to heaven. But we close our eyes so we don't get distracted by the cobweb over there, you know. It's just a way to keep from being distracted. But reach into your heart. That's what I wanted to say. Reach into the substance of your heart and offer Him that song. Are you ready?
With a new song, oh. I'm not one to stand up, but while we were worshiping, I was just sitting in my chair. And I know it wasn't the wind or the fan, but I felt like a cool breeze right in front of me. And I had my hand open, and I swear it could have been Alex holding my hand. And I just had my eyes closed. And I know it was God just holding my hand. And then I just saw him get up. And each hand that was raised, he was just walking by just gently. I mean, I'm shaking. Just gently touching every single hand. And whatever need that person was praying for, God was just saying, here you go.
How awesome.
Thank you, Jesus.
How awesome.